Happy New Year. Thank you. It's going to be a Happy New Year for everybody. 2022 is long gone. But as someone once said, yesterday is gone, today is new. But it's the same day. Every 24 hours is the same. Is it? It's not. It's not the same. But we're into a brand new year. And we are so glad you've come to join us today. The snow has stopped for a few minutes. Rick is with us, way in the back corner. I still see snow right over here. If I look over Norm's head, I can see snow in the front of the Dairy Queen. Oh, that's his hair. So you all had a good Christmas season, did you? Some of it was sad, was it not? So we have something to really think about today, is that we have a brand new year starting, and it's a brand new day in God. Amen? Just to go over a few things that are happening this week, Monday's prayer gathering will be happening here tomorrow at the church at 2 o'clock. The Tuesday reflection starts on the 10th. Wednesday Ladies Vision starts this Wednesday. Thursday Bible study night, we're finishing up Romans. We're way into chapter 15. It's a long book. Saturday prayer gathering, and then, of course, Sunday. But I do have... Somebody has gotten brand new Wasega Beach 2023 calendars. You are welcome to take one or two. They're in the back where our usher, Mr. Bruce, is standing, this on the little coffee table there. Take one or two if you need them. We have 100, so you're welcome to do that. I see a number of empty seats here today. It must be that either people are traveling or they have a hangover. Don't tell him I said that. Any other announcements that I need to make today? There isn't? Okay, let's stand and ask God to come and bless us and be with us this morning. Then the worship team will come. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we have come into this house and gathered in the name that is above all names, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who created all of this. We come, Father, to sing praises to you, to have fellowship with you and with one another, and Father, to hear your word. I pray that you would be on my heart and in my mind as I speak. Father, I thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you, Father, we're beginning this brand new year, fresh and new in you. And all God's people said together, amen, amen and amen. Worship team. I got a note from Pastor John saying there are no new prayer requests. And then I said to myself, no, that can't be so, because I know there are already two people we know very well who are at home getting cured of COVID. And then I learned from Pastor Tonga a few minutes ago that Gail's sons, Jeff and Robert, both have COVID. Okay, so we have those needs. I met Winnie this morning, a lovely lady that Donna and Bruce brought along as a friend. She's had an awful year, really, when she told me her story. We have others who are still grieving loss these past few weeks. And I just wonder, are there any other prayer requests before I go into prayer for Rhoda's husband? He is at home. No, he was taken back into the... He was at home, And I wanted to say, and he's been taken back into the hospital here in Collingwood. And it's a battle. For those of you who know anything about type 1 diabetes, it's insidious. It does not stop. It just continues to get bad. And even those of us who have type 2, it's also insidious. It can kill you pretty quick. So, anything else besides Rob and Rhoda? That's your daughter, Jillian. Sequestered disc. How many of you have back problems? It's a good sign we're all in the same state. Any other things we need to pray about? The Jude and I went to the doctors a week ago, and I was telling them I was having a little bit of a problem with my hip. And so he took my hip, and of course, as doctors do, he rotated above my neck, put it in the bathroom, came back and moved it over to the living room, and I have not been the same since. He says it's only bursitis. Burr is right. It's like a burr sticking in my hip. But he says, just age. We all get that, don't we? Jude's praising God for a new hip. If I asked everybody here, how many of you have new body parts in? I'll bet you we'll get... we have. Half of the people here have new body parts. And they're titanium. They will never rust. Even after we're long gone, they will never rust. As I stand before you, I have two titanium knees and an ankle that has nothing but mush in it for ligaments from car accidents, so I can say it's a tough life when you get it to be our age. Yes. Joan, how are you today?
I'm doing well.
You're doing well?
Yeah.
Yes, everything comes and goes. And Sheila? Yes. Thank you for family. All of a sudden we went from no list. Now I can see you, Rick. Jim's over here. Let's go to prayer, shall we? Father God, thank you that you're a God who hears us, that you're a God who can heal us, that you're a God who forgives us, that you are a God who knows every single hand that was raised today and every single person that spoke. You know exactly what is on their hearts and their minds. And you know the people they're asking for prayer for, like for Rob in the hospital, for Jim Cook, surgery and double pneumonia, and now he has COVID. We pray for his wife, Louise. Lift her up, Father. Give her strength that only you can give, the kind that passes all understanding, Father. Thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, that we need families to turn back to God, especially in this hour that we're living in today, that, Father, we need people to come back to Christ, come back to the church. Thank you, Lord. Leanne's daughter, Jillian, has a sequestered disc. And, Father, we pray for her right now that your healing touch, like the oil, the balm of Gilead, would just touch her right where she is this morning. Thank you, Lord. For Joyce, her son, for Kyle, cardio needs in his life. Then we go for safe travels for Joyce's daughter traveling back out west. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Jim and Grace, and we lift up Grace to you today. Father, her strength has been waxing and waning, and so we ask, Lord, you give her energy. Build her up in the inner person. Thank you, Lord. Bob is grateful for the visit of his son from Alberta. Give him and the other young man traveling mercies as they journey back to Alberta. Thank you, Lord, that John is going in for an echocardiogram. We thank you for Doreen. Thank you, Lord, that you see John. You know his heart. You know what is going on. Just remind him. Send someone into his life again to remind him how much you love him, Lord. Father, we pray for Vivian's granddaughter, who has a condition where she's losing her hair. Father, it's not so bad when a man does, but when a woman loses, there's only the things that they can do for her that, Father, wearing a wig is something that most women don't like to do, but, Father, it can be done. We thank you. Victoria is looking to see a cardiologist to have a new knee put in. Father, just open the doors for her. Be with the doctors as they operate on her. Give her a new knee and let her come back with full strength and power. And Father, we give you praise for everyone in this room, and we thank you that Rick is excited about what God is doing. His troubles are nothing compared to the excitement of knowing you. And Father, each one of us say that this morning. We're just so excited, Father, that we know you. And Father, we take the time to pray because we know that you hear us, and we know that you will answer. So we lift all these things up to you. Give Pastor John and Marilyn traveling mercies as they head back to their home, that we will see them next week fine. Thank you, Lord. You're just so good to us. And I ask for all of these things. Oh, I missed one, Father. I just pray for Robert and Jeff, who have COVID. I lift them up to you, Father, and anyone else who is suffering from COVID, that, Father, you would bring them back to full strength. Thank you, Father. I think of Olivia and Ken. Just lift them up to you today, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you're doing in this place. Thank you for your goodness to us. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Could I ask the ushers to come, please? And as they come, Father God, thank you for the opportunity to give back to you what you have given to us. And so as we give, Father, may it be with grateful hearts, and may you use this to further your kingdom in this town and in this province and in this country. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Our scripture verse for today is Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Amen. Please stand. Today to give us your word. Pray that you would put your anointing on him. Give him the words, Lord. And I would ask that we would not just listen, Lord, that we would take it into our hearts, our minds, and so that we're able to understand your word, learn more about you, and we're able to take it with us today and spread it out there in Waseca Beach for everyone to learn. In Jesus' name, amen.
How many of you remember the scripture verse that Leanne read to us this morning? Put up your hand if you remember it. I got one or two, three or four. Yeah. In 1981, I became pastor in a church in Barrie. And the very first year, I prayed for the new year coming, 1982. And I prayed that God would give me a verse that we could have for the entire year, and that we could remember it. And it's funny that in my prayer time over the past couple of weeks, because I've known for a couple of weeks that I'm going to preach today, and I really asked the Lord, give me something that I can share with these folks that would be new to them, but not new to me. In other words, that I could preach it, and it would be new to you, but not to me. And so these words from Deuteronomy 31, verse 8, I had them plastered all over the church. You know, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. My goodness, you do not need to be afraid, and you do not need to be discouraged. I'm sorry?
Easier said than done.
There we are. We have a human being in the audience. When he said it's easier said than done, it's true. God can do it. God goes before us. He does go before us. He has promised us that right there.
Not only does he go before us, he's going to be with us. And that he will never leave you nor forsake you. So, do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Amen. You can go home now. If you think you're getting away that easy. Well, we have a brand new day. And I was talking to some of you earlier about having a new year. And what does that mean to you, a new year? I mean, to some, it's just another day. But to others, they make an awful lot about New Year's Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. Maybe you're one of these people who says, you know what, I'm so glad that we're going into a new year because we can forget what's gone behind. But you know what? Every day we can do that. Because every single day you awake, it's a clean slate. Thank you. Every single day is a clean slate. You have 24 new hours with God. How old do you think the idea of making New Year's resolutions is? How old do you think it might be? Been 100 years or so? Do you know that New Year's resolutions have been noted all the way back in Mesopotamia over 3,000 years ago? Now I'm going to ask you, how many of you had New Year's resolutions? I see one, two, or three. Yeah, one, two, or three, four, five. Okay. Do you know that of all the people who make New Year's resolutions, out of 100% of them, only 3% of them, 3% follow through and actually bring their resolution to an end? There are people out there who say, I'm going to lose 50 pounds this year as soon as I finish eating this box of chocolate. Isn't that the truth? Well, it is in some respects a new beginning for each of us. But is it really a new beginning with God? Absolutely not. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and God is always in the present. That's why we call him a gift. Nobody got, oh, thank you, Richard. I got one giggle. Did you just finally get that, Joan? You know, as I hold this book, as soon as I get my Kleenex away from you, as I hold up this book, from the very beginning until the end of Revelation, this is all new to us. But God knows this better than we will ever know ourselves. What does it say in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1? It says, in the beginning. Well, before you go that far, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It was him who was present. Can you imagine that? I mean, you just have to think for a moment and let your imagination run, that in that absolute void of nothingness, God said, let there be light. Can you fathom that? And then we read in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 5, we read this. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Wow. So in the beginning, he started a new beginning. At the end, he's starting another new beginning. He says, what? I am making everything new. Because the old will be gone and the new will come. But he remains the same day after day after day after year after millennia after whatever comes after millennia. I'm saying to you that God is on the throne, has been on the throne, will be on the throne, will stay on the throne. And when it says there, and when it says there that he is making all things new, well, he who is seated on the throne, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Right now, God the Son and God the Father are sitting in heaven. Where's God the Holy Spirit? He's in you and me. Well, I'm going to say to you this morning, I have a bit of a confession to make. That while I was preparing all of this, I was looking at the words of Billy Graham from his book, The Journey. And I actually took some of this message from him because that's what was in my heart. And who can say it better than Billy Graham? But these are my words. Used from his book. Okay, just so you understand. Just as Doreen said last week, she wanted to let us know that Kimberly is going for ultrasound. And she came up to me this morning, she says, I want to apologize. I want to tell everybody that I lied to them last week. I said, what? She says, yeah, it wasn't a lump she was going to have looked at. It was a new baby that's in her. Kimberly was trying to keep it from her till Christmas. It wanted to be a surprise. We are so glad for Kimberly. And we're so glad for Grandma. Well, if you and I don't know who we are, how could we never know how to live this new year? We would just bumble along, lost, not knowing what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. So I want to talk to you about eight things. 2 Corinthians 5, please. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote. He said, therefore, thank you, Donna. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here. So something dramatically happens when anyone comes to Christ and repents of their sin and turns to Christ, they become a new creation. Man was created back there in the beginning, but every single one of us has to have a new beginning or a new creation with God in Christ, and we do that by repenting of our sin and accepting him and what he has done on the cross of Calvary. So first of all, we are a new creation. New. This old self, this body, it's the same. Our mind is the same to some degree, but really grace would tell you that's not so, because in Romans chapter 12, it says that we need to have our minds renewed. Okay, so that's what happens at creation. Number one, we become a new creation. Number two, we find that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, tells us that we get a new relationship. So we're not only a new creation, but we get a new relationship. A new relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We have the Almighty One who created the heavens and earth, who has come by his Holy Spirit to live right with us. That relationship tells us that without Christ in us, we are separated and excluded and without hope and without God in the world. And that's why we hear people saying, have our sons and daughters come back to Christ. or come back to the church. I want them to come back repentant and asking God to forgive and to change and create them new so they understand what it really means to be a believer. When you accept God and His work through Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into you. So we have a new creation. We have a new relationship. And then you receive a new citizenship. What do you mean, Carl? Does that mean I have a new citizenship? Well, you're still citizens of Canada. You still live here in Ontario. But now you've been given a citizenship with God in heaven forever. That can never change. You can move out of Ontario, you can move out of Canada, but you can't move out of God's love and becoming a citizen of the heavenlies. But the nice thing about that is that new relationship, that new kingdom, that new citizenship is you become part of the kingdom of God, His invisible kingdom, which is right here and now. Does everybody believe that? Or do you believe that we're going to go to something else? We are going to be changed. We'll be caught up with Him, of course. And then He's going to bring us back because His kingdom is here. His kingdom is here. Because you read it, a new heaven, I will create all things new. From Revelation 21, I will make all things new. So we're coming back to live here. But it'll be new. There will be no pain, no weeping, no gnashing of teeth, no operations, none of those things. We will be perfect in Christ, as Christ is perfect. Thanks, Donna. Are you all with me to that point? You're all with me, okay. I heard somebody go, huh. So we have already seen we're a new creation. We get a new relationship. We become new citizens in the invisible kingdom of God right here on earth. And guess what? In Ephesians 2, verse 19b, I don't think you have this one. I don't think you do. Ephesians 2, 19? No, I don't think we do. It says, we become part of a new family. We become part of a new family. Do families sometimes have squabbles? We do. A new family, though, in God means that you and I become brothers. You and I become sister and brother. We become part of a new family. So we've got a new creation, a new relationship, a new citizenship, and then we have been put into a new family. You're with me? Joyce is with me. So, gone through four of the things we've come to, and now, what did every person do before they came to Christ? Judges tells us. You know what it is, Norm? You can speak out.
Well, we all sin really good because we're good at it. But now we get a new family and we get new rights and responsibilities.
Judges 25, 21. It's one of those two. It says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So before you come to Christ, you walk by yourself. You are the captain of your own salvation. No one or nothing can tell me what to do. Isn't that the way we are before?
Except your wife.
Is that so, honey? That's not so. So, as we become part of this, This whole thing with judges has always been a stickler to me. Because I see people today in the church doing exactly what they want to do. And nobody else is going to tell them what to do, even in the church. But that isn't so. That isn't so. We have a new purpose in Christ when we come together as a new family. What is that new purpose? To love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and the second is like the first, to love your as yourself. Would that be you and me? Do some of you have a little trouble loving me? I get everybody saying, no. And then I have, they don't know which way they want to go. But that's the way it is in families too. Hey, some days we want to say, I love you. Some days they say, I got this and this and this I want to change about you. But that isn't the way it should go. God, change me first. May I become the man or the woman that you would have me to be so that I don't have to do that with anybody else. We can get along with family, and we can work alongside family, and we can see people come to Christ as family, and we can grow in the grace of God as family. Everything's new. Well, we're down to number 6, not too far away now. I'm just almost there. So we've been given you become a new creation, you get a new relationship, you get a new citizenship, get a new family, and then Judges tells us that we get a new purpose. Our new purpose is to live for Him. Put Jesus first. As you get up in the morning with a brand new slate, good morning, Holy Spirit. What are we going to accomplish today? Good morning, Holy Spirit. What are we going to accomplish today? And 6, Acts 1:8 says, each of us receives a new power. That power comes to us, not somewhere else in our Christian walk. That new power comes to us when we receive Jesus Christ. Because what happens? The Holy Spirit comes into us. And He puts a seal on us that we belong to Jesus Christ and Him alone. And in that we receive power. What kind of power? To be able to preach and teach and share and do all those things that God would have us to do in this place. The Holy Spirit's power is not something that is going to come and go in your life. The Holy Spirit is someone who has come to live within you. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses. No matter what you say, you're going to be a witness every single day of Christ. Sometimes I'm not such a good witness to my wife, and I've had to apologize. Sometimes it's been to a neighbor, and I've had to apologize. Because you know what gets in the way? Self. Self gets in the way. It's always pride. It's always something else. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, or pride of life. So this power that you have been given by God is for you and me to use as He sees fit. As we humbly onto our knees and say, Father God, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Change me before you change my wife. Change me before you change my dad. Change me before you change my mom. Change me. Let it begin. Let that new start, that new beginning start with me. We're down to number 7. And I've got one more after this. Once you become a new creation and you have all of these other 6 things, now you're going to get... In 7, you begin a new journey. You can belong to the same clubs. that you belong to now. But now you have a new purpose. You have a new purpose because God has put you there for a reason. Why did God put you in the club you're in? So that you can be a light. So that you can be living water. So that you can be the one who says, I have just the person for you. People see you getting your hands dirty and everything else, and yet they see Jesus in you. Do people see Jesus? Or do they see something else? So you have a new journey, a new path to follow. It might be the same one you're walking now, but the path before you was changed because Deuteronomy 31:8 says, the Lord himself goes before you, and he'll be with you, and he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Okay, so you have a new journey that begins, and then finally, you have a new destiny. You have a new destiny. This is not home. We were foreigners and aliens on this place. When he comes and makes everything brand new, we're going to that new home. Be here, but it'll be a whole lot different than what it looks like today. A whole lot different than what it looks like today. So you have a new destiny. It's eternal. This life is full of trouble. This life is temporary. But through it, you struggle, struggle, struggle. And then finally, we arrive when Christ, in the twinkling of an eye, catches us up all to be with him. Isn't that going to be something when Jesus says, Father, I'm ready. And the Father says, it's time. The fullness of time has come. Go get your people. Go get your bride. Go get your family. Go get every one of them. Bring them home. I love them that much forever. So what? Well, therefore. What do you say, Donna? Therefore. What's the therefore? Once a decision to trust in Jesus. Once you make that decision to trust in Jesus, it is not the end, but a new beginning, a whole new life. And just as this is January 1, 2023, it's the beginning of a brand new year for you. All new beginnings in this life begin and never end with Christ. It is Christ who makes you aware of our need for a new beginning. Isaiah says, I don't have this, I just wrote this morning. Isaiah 65:17 says, see, I will create a new heaven and a new earth. Former things will not be remembered. They won't even come to mind. Isn't that nice? That the former life we had here will not even come to mind. That's how great it will be in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for a patient people. Thank you for your wonderful love for us. Thank you, Father, that we are all new creations. And thank you, Father, that we can come and sing, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And then I'll close in prayer. Team?
And so, Father, I pray for each one in this place that they would sense the power of the Holy Spirit lives in them. That they are a new creation, that they have a new relationship, and they would go out into this place with a new purpose. And Father, I give you all the praise in advance and glory in that, in Jesus' name.